I'm Pat Morrison. For nearly 30 years, Texaco, the oil company, operated in the Ecuadorian rainforest drilling for oil and, according to plaintiffs in a big lawsuit, dumping chemical-laden wastewater in the Amazon River. All these decades later, Texaco is now owned by Chevron, and Chevron was taken to court by plaintiffs in Ecuador alleging these decades of pollution. Until now, there was a sense that nothing much was going to happen in this case. Chevron had been happy to have the case tried in Ecuador because of a government that was favorable to the United States. But in 2007, the election of a new president in Ecuador changed things. And now the plaintiffs in this lawsuit have won an $8.6 billion judgment from a judge in Ecuador to clean up oil pollution to cover health care costs for the residents in the area. There's a question of law about whether or not this judgment is enforceable and what exactly will happen to it. Marcos Orellana is director of the Human Rights and Environmental Program at the Center for International Environmental Law. That's called CL. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure being with you.
So this is considered to be the biggest such judgment in history. The question for, of course, Chevron is whether or not this is going to be enforceable. Chevron bought Texaco but says it isn't liable for its damages.
That is indeed a big question, and it relates to the fundamental facts of the case, which is the environmental destruction caused in the Amazon region out of decades of oil exploration. Until today, there has never been an instance where a big corporation has been held accountable for these kinds of massive environmental impacts.
Now, the question is that this is an international corporation as well. What is the status of law vis-a-vis Ecuador and the United States on a matter like this? Chevron says, look, we don't even have operations there anymore.
Well, when the case was presented originally in the federal court in New York City, the judge there told the Chevron Texaco, well, at the time Texaco Corporation, that the case would be tried or could be tried in Ecuador under this theory of forum non convenience. And it placed several conditions, including accepting jurisdiction in Ecuador. And so the judgment is fully binding on Chevron. Now it's a question whether the judgment will be enforced. But given this dynamic of U.S. Court involvement, it is most likely that the plaintiffs will come back to the U.S. courts to get to seek enforcement of that decision.
Is it binding, do you think, because Chevron agreed to have the case heard in Ecuador in the first place?
Well, it is binding because under the legal system in Ecuador, as well as in the United States, all guarantees were respected and the law was followed. And so the decision of a judge is binding like any other judicial pronouncement.
The jurisdiction then was not considered international when the case was filed because Chevron did have some presence, some assets in Ecuador. Is that correct?
When the case was originally filed, there were two theories, certain common law tort theories and also actions under the Alien Tort Claims Act, alleging environmental harm, cultural genocide, racial discrimination, very serious issues. And the judge that originally handled the file considered that there was enough evidence to proceed to discovery. But then the judge was changed, and the new judge, in a way, removed the case from U.S. jurisdiction and sent it to Ecuador. And that's how the case ended up in Ecuador.
Whatever the facts as far as the allegations of pollution, is there a precedent for a case like this where an international company has lost a case in a national court and then there's been an ability by that court or any other agency to enforce the judgment?
Well, Chevron is trying everything to try to get the judgment not to be enforced. It's recently presented RICO claims against the plaintiffs. It has also tried to utilize a bilateral investment treaty between the U.S. and Ecuador to avoid enforcement of the decision, to discredit Ecuadorian courts, basically. So what is at stake here is the ability of the Ecuadorian legal system to have its decisions rendered effective, and the ability of the United States to cooperate with other countries in giving force to those decisions.
Now, some of this matter has been heard in The Hague, in the International Court, is that right?
In the Permanent Court of Arbitration, this is for the bilateral investment treaty claim that I was referring to. This is an international treaty between the U.S. and Ecuador that is designed to protect investments, but in this case has been used aggressively by Chevron to try to discredit the Ecuadorian judicial system with a view to trying to avoid enforcement of this decision, this judgment of billions of dollars for cleanup of the contamination of the Amazon resulting from its oil explorations.
And The Hague did give Chevron a preliminary injunction.
And this arbitral tribunal that's housed under this Permanent Court of International Arbitration, as it's called, did give Chevron a preliminary decision sort of maintaining the status quo.
And so the state of standoff would remain. Stephen's calling us from Northridge about this matter, the big judgment, nearly $9 billion against Chevron by a judge in Ecuador ordering cleanup for pollution and health care costs for residents in an area of the Amazon that they say was polluted by years, decades of operation of Texaco. And the judge has also said if Chevron doesn't apologize in 2 weeks, that fine will be doubled. Stephen's on the line from Northridge. Thanks for calling, Stephen.
Thank you for taking my call. When I buy a company, I'm subject to buying the liabilities also. In other words, if I buy a company, I have to accept the fact that that company may have contingent liabilities out there, and I will be responsible for that. I can't avoid that. And if Ecuador can't get the money from Chevron, I would suggest they nationalize their own and say, look, that's fine. If you don't want to clean it up, we'll take your stuff and we'll pay you for it, but we'll use the profits to clean up what you've done.
Okay. Now, Stephen, at this point, Chevron says it has no assets in Ecuador. And so the larger question would be whether Ecuador would be in a position to go after any of Chevron's international access. What do you think of that action?
Well, I think it needs to be adjudicated, obviously. And Chevron's saying, well, we don't have any assets there, therefore you can't nationalize anything. So we'll fight you on an international court basis. But look, from an accounting point of view, you know, when I buy a company, I'm stuck with their liabilities also. I can't just say, that's too bad. Mm-hmm. I won't take the liabilities. I'll just take the assets. And then the liabilities just float off into the air someplace. See, that doesn't work that way.
Stephen, thank you. Marcos Orellana, who is with CIEL, the Center for International Environmental Law. Stephen's point is, look, that you take the downside along with the upside. Now, I'm thinking of, for example, the British Petroleum, the Deepwater Horizon action. BP offered to pay damages. But is this a parallel that if a court, say, in Louisiana or in this country were to go after BP, if it weren't cooperative, could it seize international assets? Could it act internationally?
Well, there's a international framework that has been designed to protect international investments of this sort. And it has often been used by international investors to try to circumvent or bypass judicial pronouncements rendered in the countries that they're doing business in, precisely to remain harmless in their profit-seeking initiatives. So this legal framework does exist, but it should not be used, and I don't think ultimately it will be a successful strategy.
Has it been successful in the past? Are there any parallel cases?
There have been other instances where these bilateral investment treaties have been used to seek compensation for damages, but the situation that we're facing here with a corporation trying to initiate a claim anticipating a liability decision is unique, and so we're witnessing a history in the making.
Now, Chevron has argued that it doesn't have responsibility. It's also argued that there's collusion, that the new president of Ecuador is colluding with the plaintiffs in this case, and that's why it wants to get it thrown out.
Right. Chevron is trying to discredit the Ecuadorian legal system in order to taint it, and so taint the judgment as improper, and so try to avoid it, liability. But what's really at stake here is the suffering of thousands of indigenous peoples in pristine areas of the Amazon that for decades suffered the toxic waste that resulted from oil activities that were done without consideration to the environment or to the rights of the local inhabitants.
Mr. Orellana, is this a case that other multinational corporations are keeping a close eye on?
Oh, I'm sure of that. This precedent will be closely watched because it is often the case that big corporations make profits on the back of disempowered people that have no voice in the marketplace. And so this judgment addresses that imbalance of power and it protects the weak against the environmental destruction that affects their livelihoods.
And what is the likelihood that any or all of these damages, these court-ordered damages, might be paid by Chevron?
Well, it's in a way early to forecast that. We still have before us a long legal battle ahead. Both parties have said that they will appeal this decision. The plaintiffs are looking for an amount of damages that will compensate and be adequate to restore the polluted environment, whereas the investor, the company, is trying to avoid liability altogether. So it's a bit early to say what's going to happen in the future.
So you may have different actions being heard in different courts in different countries, the federal court in Manhattan, Chevron's racketeering lawsuit, as you referred to, the RICO lawsuit, versus the proceeding in the courts in Ecuador. It sounds very likely that a lot of these matters just may end up at a standstill as courts have countervailing opinions in different countries.
Well, it is possible that the courts in New York could conclude that the RICO action has any merit, but that is largely unlikely. If you've seen the pleadings, it's a concoction of arguments taken from evidence that's out of context. Much of it was derived from this documentary Crude and has been denounced by the filmmaker, the director of that documentary, as completely out of context. So it's very unlikely that action will go anywhere, and so it's a hypothetical. It's a possibility, but it's unlikely.
Marcos Orellana is the director of the Human Rights and Environment Program at the Center for International Environmental Law, CIEL. As we talk about a court in Ecuador seeing a nearly $8 billion, $9 billion judgment against Chevron and Chevron's pushback.